Thank the Lord. We're in Acts chapter 2. How are we doing for sound? It's a little hot here. I can hear myself think. I'm afraid to think something, you might pick it up. Acts chapter 2. Everybody find it? Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit, or when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Well, we find out that the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven in a limitless and a merciful supply. He is being poured into willing vessels since this day that the Scripture is recording for us. It tells us that the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were to receive, as Jesus promised, the power to be the witnesses, the power to come upon, so that you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And we understand that the Holy Spirit showed up like a mighty wind, as it says in verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Having the Holy Spirit within us does not mean we get to control him. It means he gets all of us. He now controls us. And John tells us that the wind blows where it wishes. This is what Jesus says. You hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everybody born with the Spirit. So we are filled with the Spirit of God to do the will of God, to be moved as His Spirit moves us. We become ministers by His power. You can even say and agree with Paul that he says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And we see from these verses that the New Testament tells us that God's power to witness is fire, that fire has a couple of components to it. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, a light that shines in darkness. God put his light upon us. The one who said, "Let there be light," declares that we become the light of the world. The flames of heaven that rest upon men and women, that is a gift of God. The light of Christ rests upon us. It fills us. And that we understand we are here to bless the world. So you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that same voice who said, "Let there be light," wants you to be the light of the world. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. You don't have to worry about how dark it gets. Check your light. You impact this world. God understands where the world is in relationship to his creation. And Paul writes in Philippians that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And one translation says stars in the universe. But we need the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. God doesn't tell us simply live a holy life, but he empowers us to do that. The light dispels the darkness. God overcomes evil with good, and we know God's presence changes everything. Can you imagine? Do you remember school? Any of you remember that far back? Do you remember when the teacher walked in the room, everything changed? Woe be unto the child who didn't know the teacher was in the room. Right? And we know that the Lord is with us, and his presence changes everything. The daily significance of what we possess, or we might say of what possesses us. Holy living is possible in a not-so-holy world. Isn't that a good thing? That's a good report. I think I like that song today. And Jesus says, as you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus says we can be sanctified. It is true. It is available. The distinguishing touch of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. The Holy Spirit abides with us. He dwells in us, and he manifests himself through us. But I do tell you and remind you that it's not our ways that are being accomplished, it's God's ways. And Isaiah says, his ways are higher than the earth. So my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The psalmist declares what this must look like. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. My heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope. Are you glad for that? Aren't you glad you have some hope? Aren't you glad even if they're doing some radiation, if they're doing some tests, that we still have hope? And the psalmist goes on to write, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you enjoy that? Isn't that a glorious thought? The pleasures are right there in the presence of God. So verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit makes us holy and righteous, and it is scriptural. The only mystery about sanctification is how does God accomplish it? Being inhabited by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is a gift and a blessing. It was demonstrated in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, and it has been demonstrated within the body of Christ, the church, every day ever since. Somebody is being convicted. Somebody is being convinced of holy living. Somebody is being prepared for the day of judgment and life eternal. It is a privilege to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it has a great responsibility. Jesus commands us to love one another, but only the Spirit gives us the power and the resources and the desire to do that. Does that make sense? You could have been anywhere you wanted to be today. You chose to be here, and God has chosen to be here today and bless you. Knowing God and knowing that God knows is enough. It gives us peace. We know that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And because that scripture is true, we can write the conclusion that this provides the peace that passes all understanding. How do you have peace in the middle of your storm? It is simply because we are the children of God. Paul writes it like this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. This is how we become the witnesses of God to the world. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are useful in ministry and for ministry. I believe this is the abundant life Jesus is talking about. God, who created the church, will sustain the church. Did you hear that? Maybe it's a good day to tell you that. God created this church. He'll sustain it. It's not the number of people. It's not the people's capacity. It's not the people's resources. But Christ keeps his church. He extends his church. The gift of the Holy Spirit's not eloquence. It's not logic. It's not rhetoric. But it's preaching the Holy Spirit in truth and power. He's not just polishing our talents. He is sanctifying us. He's the potter. We're the clay. It makes a difference. He's got us in his hands. He is the potter. We are the clay. What difference does it make? Oh, it makes all the difference. The Holy Spirit firing us is an internal application. The fire of God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Listen to what Jeremiah says: "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So if you take this concept that we are in God's hand and the Holy Spirit is in our life, in our heart, do you see how we kind of get stuck in the middle? The Holy Spirit's inside, cleansing us, working out, and we are yet in God's hands, being held safe. And so he's got us both, doesn't he? He's surrounding us by his intentions and blessing, but yet cleansing us from the inside out. And as you put this, you understand the spiritual is better than natural. And this is the answer to the prayer: your kingdom come. It's here. It's inside. And we are yet in his hand. We become ambassadors of the kingdom of God to this world, and we watch and pray as God's will is done in every activity in your life of every day. This is accomplished by the Spirit. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. Do you hear that phrase in there embedded into this? Your will be done. It's done as he wills. The Holy Spirit transforms our mind. What we say, to whom we are speaking, and how it is heard. He makes us witnesses in this world as he prepares us for the next world. He saves the best for last. He redeems us so he can sanctify us. He sanctifies us so he can use us as a vessel of the Almighty God. You see the progress? Do you see the improvement? He doesn't just redeem us. He doesn't just take us out of the world, but he makes us useful. God's grace, his love, his mercy accomplishes what we cannot accomplish. Did you know the Holy Spirit knows how much work it's going to require to clean your life up? Do you know we're the only ones surprised how much work's involved in us becoming like Christ? He does a great work in us. The Holy Spirit is prepared to do that extreme makeover. Maybe you like computer terminology, maybe if I said he's the one who's going to reboot your computer and put a new operating system in there, maybe you understand that. Maybe you like the idea he does the remodel and he takes out all the old stuff and puts the new stuff in. I don't know which mind frame you like the best, but the scripture knows the amount of work that's required in your life. He is adequate and he will finish the job. Don't you like his promise? He who began a good work in you, he'll bring it to completion. This is a total transformation. The result is a metamorphosis into a new creature. We go from the caterpillar into the beautiful butterfly or moth and have a different purpose. It is the Holy Spirit working in us a fresh anointing and a daily application. He is able to monitor and update daily, moment by moment, help us to be at the right place at the right time. Does that make sense? He's the one that helps Bob sit down in the back when Mike's talking. Said it's okay, just realize. He's the one that kept the chair open knowing we'd need it for Bob to sit in the back. He's the one who put the building there in the first place so there'd be a chair. He's the one who produced the planet so there could be a ground we could purchase so we could put a building on it. Is this making sense? And he had to create the universe before he could put the planet. You starting to figure out what all he did just so we could be here today? And he's glad you're here. He is. He is glad we are preaching the gospel and monitoring his grace and mercy in our lives. We are able to be holy because the Spirit makes us holy. Remember the burning bush? Didn't destroy it, did it? Fire fell upon it. It blessed the bush. The bush attracted Moses. I'm not sure who you're attracting by being here, but I'm glad you're here. That light of Christ is resting upon us, and we begin to understand that the Comforter has come. The promise was given. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." That's Jesus promising to send us a Helper. Do you understand that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the Paraclete, whatever word you choose, it was God's idea to make you holy. It was God's idea that you would be holy. It is his work that makes you holy. The birth of the church, the light entering the darkness. You make that connection. God said, "Let there be light." And he said it with his church. And then he says to the church, "You are the light." And we begin to experience this. It is God doing his work. And this event a long time ago caused excitement, astonishment, perplexity, confusion, and some mockery in Jerusalem. And we're studying this. We're preaching this truth so that you won't be confused, but you'll understand God's blessing in your life. He's blessing you with his presence. He is working within you and holding you without. Does that help? He's got you. Not just in his hand, but he is in your life. So you are, he is in you and you are in him. As I begin to understand this part of confusion and frustration and perplexity, I have to keep myself from laughing when I say this. The people were confused because they could understand. Do you understand how confusing religion is for some people? It just gets confusing. They don't, and they think if they understand what God's up to, they must have missed something. But we are reminded on this day that we are to understand God is not the author of confusion. He wants us to know. Think how silly people are if they really believe that they can't understand what God is doing. God tells us what he's going to do, and then he does it. He says, if you will wait here, I will send you power to be witnesses. And that happened. Do you understand how powerful this truth becomes for us? Or how silly people are when they understand and that confuses them. It makes sense. I'm confused. How does this make sense? But when you hear God speaking to you, when you understand his plans for your life, you're not to be confused. You're to realize you're blessed. And we trust him to accomplish what he says he's going to do. That's the promise. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, when that day arrived, God kept his promise. He is able to help us, and he blesses us. Let me see if I can give you an example of this. How many times have you been looking for your keys lately? You lay them down somewhere, and you ever walk right by them maybe a dozen times or three or four times, and if you're like at some of the houses I visit once in a while, they ask their other spouse or somebody there, where's my keys? The person you don't want to have to ask a kid where the keys are would be Landon. That would not be the person you want to ask where the keys are. We might never find them if Landon had access to the keys. Does that make sense? But you know, I know right where the keys were when you found your keys. You know where they were? The last place you looked. Isn't that where your keys were? If you keep looking after you found your keys, we need to talk. But if you're looking for your keys and you find them, you stop looking. This is what God's telling us. You can stop looking. You can stop looking for peace. You can stop looking for power. You can stop looking for the light, because all of these things are found in Jesus Christ. You can stop looking because you will now have what your heart has longed for. And how many times did you walk by those keys when you were looking for them? And how did you miss what they were right there? It's the same thing with the gospel truth. You may have missed it. You may not have heard it. But when you do hear it, accept it, believe it, and live it. That's the promise. You didn't have to get it before. You didn't have to understand it before. But no, it's here now. It's available now. And ask God to receive it. And when you see it, don't be confused that God has holiness available, but thank him for the provision and the opportunity to live in his power. That's why we preach this. And that's the good news of this gospel. And again, that's why we're continuing to work through this scripture. I want you to understand it. I don't want you to be confused by it. I want you to understand what God is doing. The God who is working in your heart is also holding you in his hands. And so can you see where it's a little bit less of you and a lot more of him? He's got you from the inside out. He's got you from the outside in. There's not much room for you. Well, that's perfect. We want more of him and less of us. Isn't that true? We want to know his power. We want to be his witness. But keep in mind, this power does not destroy you, but it helps you to become who you're supposed to be. That's the promise. That's what's going on. He is blessing us right here, right now. Okay. I finally got to the bottom of the page. But again, time is a fleeting matter. Somebody told me that the longer I preach, the longer I preach. You'll get that later when you look at your clock. But I need you to understand these blessings of God. It's not to confuse you. But I hope you enjoy me slowing down a little bit and going through this to bless you so that you know your benefits, but your responsibilities as well. You're the light of the world. So don't be surprised if you have to have an answer for somebody why you have hope today. Why would you even want a child in this world? Are you kidding? It's a child is a gift of God. Who gave you that conclusion? God did. Because there's another mindset out there, isn't there? The children have no value. Let's pray together and ask that God would help us to be effective with the responsibilities He's given to us. Lord, thank You for helping us on this day as we preach these words of truth. We need Your grace, Your love, Your mercy to be renewed every day. I thank You for the benefits and the blessing, but help us to apply this great truth as we walk through this world, as we carry out our jobs, as we carry out our titles of grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and child and brother and sister and aunt and all these various responsibilities. We need Your power to help us. And Lord, we pray that You would open doors as You close doors, and those who are looking for help in their time of need would find You sufficient for this trial of this day. So we ask that You would help us now, before we walk out these doors, to know that our heart is right with You, that You consume, or that You have possessed our hearts, and that You're transforming our lives by Your indwelling power. Before I say that final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anybody? Just raise your hand today and say, Pastor, be praying. God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? All right. Lord, You're good to us. Thank You for helping us to declare Your word of truth today, these listening ears. May they enjoy Your power, Your presence, and the truth of this message. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.